is Christopher Nolan's interstellar trip to the stars worth taking? Mankind is heading for the big adios. Fools is scarce and growing scarcer. Weed and okra trust and coin is grasping at last. Raging dust storms blight the air like the Dust Bowl nightmare in the 1930s. Doomsday's clock isn't just ticking, it's screaming its final alarm. Should we go gentle into the night? Hell no, says Interstellar, a mighty astronomic looking, oh so solemn, often embarrassing, sloppy, blowhard space epic from a director, Christopher Nolan, who co-wrote the screenplay with Jonathan Nolan. Then the unimaginatively titled space opera makes the director's first effort since the Batman Inception extravagance, and it's sort of smooth blended together from equal parts Forbidden Planet, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 21 A Space Odyssey, and Star Trek, with the most unintentional funny elements of a couple great sea mystery science theater with sci-fi howlers tossed in. Matthew McConaughey plays Cobb Coop. All shout out to all American classic screen icon Gary Cooper. A widowed ex-NASA ace flyboy and engineer starred straight out of the right stuff, now bunkered down on a Wizard of Oz farm, giving to musing the aloud stuff like we used to look up at the sky and wonder about our place in the stars. Now we just look down and wonder about our place in the dirt. Coop lives by his fatherly grown-in-law, John Lithgow, and his good kid son, Timothy Chalamet, and a smart daughter, Mackenzie Foy, who's totally cool with the fact that she's living with a ghost who's arranged meaningful dust patterns on the floor and pushes around objects. The patterns and ghostly tapping lets Coop to a top-secret, high-super-techy underground NASA project called Lazarus, masterminded by Dr. Brand, his old father figure and mentor, Michael Caine, who convinces his protege that he's the only guy who fit in for the dangerous mission of finding a new inhabitable planet for humans to mess up. Coop's destiny is to be hurtled into space and break through a new galaxy through a traversable wormhole near Saturn, helpfully placed just recently by beings from the fifth dimension. Why? Because we've been such good stewards for the planet. Anyways, like a good father, Coop struggles with leaving his kid, whom he might never see again for decades, if at all, but he takes the self-sacrifice challenge or we wouldn't have any movie. Besides, with Kane constantly dribbling Dylan Thomas, do not go gentle into the night, how can Coop resist? His fellow crew member aboard the Starship Enterprise, oops, makes that endurance, and includes a scientist, Anne Hathaway, always trying so hard, who is Dr. Brand's daughter and artificially intelligent science dealer, part R2-D2, part Hull, part called Tars, voice with nicely tossed of sarcasm by Will Irvin, who provides the humor in the entire 3-hour movie. Between bouts of chunky exponential dialogue, debates about man's place in the universe and seriously the power of love, the explorers must figure out why 11 different astronauts on 11 different similar missions are no longer responding, but just when things threaten to become a lot more interesting, and the movie tease on the edge of morphing into a tense and dazzling 21 A Space Odyssey riff, or is it Redio? This is not only fail to saw the grass, we want to be of an intense snail-biting or do-or-die mission in magnificent all-new solar system, and Nolan and company deliver that in spades. But he and the screenplay fumble badly, insisting on cutting back to Earth to check in our hero's poor doomed kid as they grow older and embedding by laws. We don't give a rip. There's no doubting how committed Nolan is to making Interstellar a beauty, bedazzling intellectual simulation and resonance. He's shooting for masterwork, although his sky-high ambition and his salute to a good old American fortune and sense of hope are admirable. He and his co-screenwriter forget to make us care about the humanders on displays. McConaughey is probably the earnest and committed, and although he isn't the kind of actor who pulls us in, he's very effective, at least when it is dialogue. When his dialogue is audible. That leaves us with technical wishbang stuff. The science theory on which the film was based, promulgated by the brilliant theoretical physicist Kip Thorne, is thrilling, aspirational, and mind-opening. Yes, the time-lapse images of ruined planet Earth, the cold, silent vistas of Saturn, and the expanse of cold barriers planet are crazily beautiful and are imaginatively filmed by Hoti van Hoytema. But spectacle is just spectacle without unearned emotion and gripping premise. Despite Hans Zimmer's intrusive score that roars thunders and never shuts the hell up, often completely washing over the dialogue and constantly trying to cue us how and when to feed, be a weed, be swept away. You go into Interstellar hoping to be mind-blown thriller and smarten up. Although it's beautiful, made brainy, and sometimes insanely gorgeous, you might find yourself wondering what the big whoop was all about.